Janabi, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Tess.
So why exactly is it that the government has ordered to shut down telecommunications inside these refugee camps in Bangladesh?
The government ordered it. It's not exactly communication shutdown. They kind of, we have to understand that, it is not easy for government to shut down. It is not realistic to shut down the mobile phone of the thousands of people living there for years. I think it's a kind of a signal government trying to give to the Rohingyas and the international communities about what international community is not doing for Bangladesh and what Rohingyas are trying to do doing the demonstration down there. And that is not acceptable for Bangladesh government for various reasons. So it is not actually communication ban. It's kind of, I'd like to say, it's a political act from Bangladesh government, because it's not communication ban. In a sense, if you want to have a SIM card, you need to have a identity, national identity or address down there. Rohingyas getting this mobile phone without any address, without proper procedures. So I think the question for Bangladesh government, maybe they don't want to address that. How come they get it in the first place, these mobile phones? So I like to say it's a communication ban. It's a kind of a political act on behalf of Bangladesh government.
And the government as well, I know, it says that ultimately they're working to reduce tensions and protests in the refugee camp. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, what are the sort of tensions and what are the sort of conditions in the camps at the moment?
I think the conditions are in there, because I've been there once. The conditions are kind of, I would say, inhumane, because the international agencies and local authorities are trying their best, but you have to imagine Bangladesh, that part is such a small place, and these thousands of people, more than 200,000 Rohingyas are in a confined place. So they don't have access to, their movement is limited down there. So they can't come outside, although Rohingyas are coming outside, going different parts of Bangladesh. Particularly, it's hard for Bangladesh government to sometimes differentiate who is Rohingyas and who is, Bangladeshi. Because, for example, I'm from part of Chittagong, he speaks in similar language. So the problem is it's quite inhumane down there. You can live there for maybe, 2, 3, 4 months, but not years after years in that confined place. Particularly in the monsoon, there's a rain and there's a landslide. Yeah, I think it's quite not acceptable condition to live there, year after year.
And so ultimately, what would you like to see the government do about this? What actions would you like to see taken?
I think Bangladesh government is trying its best to resolve these issues. The Prime Minister recently, Sheikh Hasina recently visited China. She was trying to, convince international community to repatriate them, because it's not possible for Bangladesh to accommodate this. Bangladesh wished to, but it's no way Bangladesh can capable of accommodate this many refugees. So Bangladesh, for example, we all know recently there was a recent attempt in 22nd of August to send them back, but the Rohingyas, they weren't feel safe. So Bangladesh government at that time said Bangladesh government that, you know, Myanmar government need to create a safe and secure environment so that Rohingyas can go back. And Bangladesh is not ready to actually push them for repatriation. So now I see the issue is more for the international community to respond, to cooperate with Bangladesh, particularly to Myanmar, to how they can actually take them back, in how they can give them confidence that they will not face any more persecution on that land. They are actually fearful. That had a reason, you know, how they were persecuted in that land. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Well, Janabi, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for chatting to us.
Oh, thanks for having me.